Feel a little funny this morning. I had my wisdom teeth out Tuesday, and I'm still numb from like here to here. They said that they might hit this nerve that causes numbness in the jaw, and well, of course, they hit it in me. So I've been told that I'm not talking funny, but I feel like I am. So if you see me kind of like biting on my lip or something, that's why. So I'm going to try to make this as coherent as possible, but bear with me. So today we're going to be in Romans 8:28. It's one verse, but it's a very, very powerful verse. And I just want to start by reading it. I usually kind of give a little introduction to it and kind of give some history, but today I think that I just want to start by reading the verse, and then we'll talk about kind of how this verse has impacted our walk with the Lord and what maybe its original intention was and how we've kind of moved that a little bit. So let's read together Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Pretty short and sweet. All things work together for good. And as the title of my sermon indicates, I want to ask the question, do they really? Do things really work together for the good of those who love God all the time? It's a nice concept. And as I was preparing this sermon, I had several examples that I could offer as to when we might say, well, maybe they didn't work out completely good. And so I just want to offer a few. Think about the tragedy of 9/11. A lot of good things came out of that, but a lot of bad things came out of that too. Think about the paranoia that is experienced by a lot of people now because of the things that happened at 9/11. Think about the prejudice and anger that is still held in a lot of people's hearts as a result of 9/11. Think about those families who lost loved ones, fathers and mothers, sons and daughters. Think about the epidemic of human trafficking right now. This is huge. In third world countries all over the world, young girls and boys are being kidnapped and sold into slavery. Most of them sold for the purposes of prostitution. And so I wonder how that can work for the good. Think about laws being passed daily that allow babies to be murdered in the womb, that allow the clear, defined definition of marriage to be perverted. And all that for the sake of tolerance. And then a more personal one, a friend of mine, Justin, who loves the Lord as much as anyone I've ever met, who is suffering from a genetic disease that will end his life soon, and he's younger than me. He has a desire to serve the Lord, and his passion has been snuffed out in recent years because of the anxiety and depression that this disease is causing in his life. So what little joy that he has left is often overtaken by this grief that he's experiencing, knowing that his life will soon come to an end, and there's nothing he can do about it. So I ask again, do all things work together for good? Do they really? Is Romans 8:28 a soft pillow or a hard problem? Let's be honest for a minute this morning and admit that we have at least two huge problems with Romans 8:28 as a Christian community. One, Paul's words are too rigid, too dogmatic. He says, for we know that all things work together for good. And so if we could ask Paul a question, we'd probably ask him, how can you be so sure? He doesn't say that they might work out for the good. He doesn't say, well, there's a chance that some things work out for the good and other things may not have good. He says, all things work together for good. We have a hard time being as sure as Paul is, don't we? We want to believe that things work out for the good. We want to buy into this idea that Paul's trying to present to us. I mean, it's a really nice idea and it's comforting. But we really do have a hard time with it. And then the second thing, the second problem, it's too inclusive. It's too all-encompassing for our taste. Because we're natural skeptics, right? How can everything that happens really end up being good. We hear Paul say all things and we think, really, Paul? All? Everything. Does that include the darkest tragedies of our life? I mean, we could admit that some things work together for good, right? We can all agree and shake our heads yes to that. Some things work together for good. We can understand that out of difficulty can come great lessons of faith. That we can't learn any other way other than experiencing these dark times in our lives. So some things clearly work together for good, but can we really accept it? Can we really agree with Paul and say that all things work together for the good? I tell you every week that Romans is held in the highest regard as the New Testament letters. Greatest letter ever written. That's the title of this series. And so I don't have to tell you that Romans 8:28 is one of the most beloved and quoted verses in the Bible. I'm sure many of you have been quoted this verse or have quoted it to someone else during a difficult time. I know I have. I've quoted it and I've been quoted to from this verse. A lot of times it comes with comfort, right? It's kind of like medicine for our souls. We're going through this difficult time and we hear somebody say, God's going to work this out for good. And it gives us a glimmer of hope and we're like, okay. But I'm going to be honest with you. There's some people even here today that have heard this verse and it's more like a cosmic joke. It causes more grief than it does hope. They hear all things work together for the good and they think, I doubt it. They ask, what do you mean by good? Sickness isn't good. A loss of my job isn't good. Divorce isn't good. The fact that I can't pay my mortgage or put food on the table isn't good. This verse is often misused. And that's the first problem in really understanding it. We misuse this verse a lot. A lot of times, well-meaning Christians throw this verse out to every instance of suffering that ever comes to pass. And that's not the intention that Paul had for it when he spoke it. When it's misused, it produces the opposite effect that we desire for it to produce. We want it to offer peace and hope. We're doing it with the best of intentions. But it has the opposite effect. But whether we like it or not, this verse is in the Bible, and so we need to understand it. We need to try to figure out what Paul meant when he said, all things work for the good of those who love God. So can we believe Romans 8:28 in this day and age? That's the question I want to answer today. And I've come across four thoughts in my studies. Usually when I prepare for a sermon, what I do is I read a lot of commentaries on the passage. And usually one or two of the themes really resonate with me, and that's kind of the direction I go. This week I come across four, and I couldn't narrow it down. And I thought, when we use all four of these and really apply all four of these to understanding this text, we can believe it. We can really trust it, and we can buy into it, and we can understand what Paul meant when he said all things work for the good. And so I want to present those four things to you today. And the first thing is we need to bring God in at the beginning. We need to bring God in at the beginning. I want to read a few different versions of this passage. First, the King James Version. All things work together for the good of them that love God. Next, the New American Standard Bible. God causes all things to work together for good. And then the New International Version. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. What's the difference there? Did you notice where God's name was placed in those? None of them are grammatically wrong. But spiritually, the NIV and the New American Standard have it right. They put God right there at the beginning. And the New American Standard is my favorite. God causes all things to work together for good. Let me put it this way. We will never properly understand this verse as long as we put God at the end and not at the beginning. And we have a tendency to do this in real life with our problems. We don't ever see God at the beginning. We always go through the problem, go through the suffering, go through the angst and all the emotions that go with that. And then at the end we say, where's God? Where's God? I need him now. And we forget that he was there the whole time. We think that God shows up at the end and he's going to make everything better. That's not biblical at all. God has been there from the beginning, all through every emotion that we experienced, and he's there at the end. God is at work. Not luck, not chance, not karma, not happenstance, but God, with a plan and a purpose, is at work in your life. If we can accept this, we can end the notion of the happy ever after that says no matter what happens, God will turn tragedy into blessing. That's fine for fairy tales, but it's not always true in real life. It's a reality. What do we say when a child dies? Or when a missionary dies on the mission field? Or when a policeman dies in the line of duty? It's hard to see how those things are good. It's hard to see how those things are good. When we look at these situations, we must at all costs resist cheap explanations. That's the easy response to things like this. When you sit with someone who's just lost a loved one or is going through a difficult time, it's easy to say, God has a plan for this. But a lot of times, that's not what they want to hear. We can't tell somebody that a tragedy isn't a tragedy. We can't tell someone, I understand that this is a difficult time, but God's going to work it out for your good. If I had a deer on my way to Marshalltown, and then I take my car to the body shop, and the guy says, it's not wrecked, it's just rearranged. What am I going to say to him? You're nuts. This car is totaled. And so as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can't tell someone that's going through a dark time in their life that it's not a tragedy. Call it what it is. Be honest. It's not our job to judge what's going on in someone else's life. We're just supposed to be there and love them. But the point that we have to see is that God is actively involved in all steps of the process. What happens to you and to me is not the mechanical tuning of some impersonal divine wheel. God isn't impersonal. He's there with us. He cares about what happens to us. God is actively at work in your life. So is Paul saying that whatever happens is good? No, it's not what he's saying. Is he saying that suffering and evil and tragedy are good? Nope, it's not what he's saying. Is he saying that everything will work out as long as we have enough faith? Nope, not saying that either. Is he saying that we will be able to understand why God allowed tragedy to come? No. He's not promising us any of those things in this verse. So what is he saying then? To me, it's kind of like road construction, road work. When you're driving along the highway at, say, 65 miles an hour, and you see the orange sign that says minute work or road work ahead, you start to slow down. Maybe you drop to 55, maybe you drop to 45, and you pass by and you kind of see some guys working, and you can't really tell what they're doing. Sometimes it doesn't look like they're doing much at all. But then you come back by a couple of months later, and there's a nice new smooth road, or a new on-ramp, or a nice fresh painted lines, or new shoulders, or whatever the case may be, the job is done. So even though we couldn't see in the 10 seconds it took us to drive by what was going on, later on in life when we pass through that again, we see the finished product. God is at work. We only get to see fleeting moments, even when we're in the midst of tragedy. And we feel like it's going to last forever. That is a blink of an eye in the eternity that we're called to live with God. And so we're driving along on the highway of life at 65 miles an hour, and we get to see God at work for 10 seconds. And we can't tell what he's doing. We don't have a clue. Sometimes it doesn't look like he's doing anything. But when we pass by later in life, we're going to get it. We're going to say, that's the finished product. That's what you were doing. Sometimes it was for us, sometimes it was for someone else, but there's always a purpose, and it's always good. My girls are still afraid of the dark. It scares them because they can't see in the dark. And Elena likes to come and sleep in our room sometimes. And we're past her sleeping in the bed because she's big and she hogs the bed. So she likes to make a little bed on the floor next to our bed and she stays there. She can't see any better in our room than she can in her room because it's dark. But it gives her comfort to know that her parents are there. And that's what Paul means when he says all things work for the good. We can't see any better having a relationship with God, but it gives us comfort because we know he's there. Does it explain why these things are happening to us? No. But it gives us comfort. It gives us hope. Because we're connected to the source. So can we still believe in Romans 8:28? Yes, but we need to bring God in at the beginning. And then the second aspect of looking at this verse, we need a long-term perspective. We need a long-term perspective. So many things in life are unexplainable. Can you tell me why a tornado will destroy one house and leave the one next to it completely untouched? We don't know. Can you tell me why one brother excels in life and the other one struggles even though they had the same upbringing? We don't know. Can you tell me why that tumor came back when the doctor said that he got it all? We don't know. The list of questions that we don't know the answer to is endless. And if we look at these things in isolation, they make no sense at all. We can't figure it out. If there's a purpose behind each of these tragedies, we can't see it. We don't know the answer. But our danger is that we judge the end by the beginning. We like to judge what we can't see by what's happening in the moment. So when tragedy strikes, if we can't see a purpose, we assume there's not one. In this society of instant gratification and wanting answers now, if we can't see what God is doing right this second, we assume that he's not at work at all. And that's our mistake. So if we want to find truth in Romans 8:28, we have to learn to judge the beginning by the end. Paul says, "For we know that all things work together for good." And that phrase, "work together," in the Greek is one word. And it's where we get our English word synergy. And do you know what synergy means? It means that two or more things come together to do something brand new that none of them could do by themselves. That's what synergy means, and that's what work together in this passage means. Two or more things that can't do anything by themselves come together and do something brand new. To me, it's kind of like chili. I love chili. We ate chili last night. It was good. Was it good, Kelsey? We had Kelsey and Donnie over last night. They ate some chili. But if you put all those ingredients in separate bowls and set them on the table, none of them look that good by themselves. I mean, I like beans, but I don't want to eat a bowl of beans. I like ground beef, but I don't want to eat it by itself. I like the way the spices make the chili taste, but I would never eat the spices by themselves. But when you put all those things together in the pot and let the synergy take place and let them work together, something delicious happens, right? And it's good. Combination of many elements to produce a result. That's synergy. And that's what Paul means when he says God causes all things to work together. Many things that make no sense when they happen by themselves, all of a sudden when you put them in the scheme of life, when you look at them in the long term, begin to have a purpose. I watch a lot of History Channel. I watch a lot of Discovery Channel. Has anybody ever seen a show called Modern Marvels? Pretty good show. I like that show. The other day there was one on there that was a Ford F-150 factory. And I don't know if you've ever seen a Ford F-150 be made, but when they have all the parts laying there at the beginning, you don't have a clue what they're making. You see sheet metal, and you see big beams of iron and aluminum and all these things, and by themselves they are nothing, just a pile of junk. But as they begin to go through the process, on the other side comes a beautiful truck. Nice and shiny, ready to drive. And if you were to look at that factory from the outside, let's just say it happened simply, and you saw all those things, and they got shoved in one door, and out of the other door comes the truck, and we're on the outside looking in. Can we see what's going on behind the wall? We can't see. We can hear. We can try to understand. But ultimately, we have to trust that what was at the beginning made what was at the end. And that's what Paul means when he says all things work together for the good of those who love him. When we love God and we have a relationship with God, he takes all those things at the beginning that look like piles of junk, that look like by themselves they can't do anything, and he takes them into the factory and he begins to work on them and he begins to form them and he begins to mold them. And pretty soon out on the other side becomes this beautiful creation, how he intended us to be from the beginning. So can we believe in Romans 8:28? Yes, but we need a long-term perspective. The third thing, we need to redefine the word good. We need to redefine the word good. And this is really, to me, this is probably, if I was going to pick just one of these things to present, this is the one I was going to present, because to me this is the most important element. Paul says, all things work together for good, but what is good? What's good? For a lot of us, good means health and happiness and solid relationships and long life and money and food on the table and meaningful work, a nice place to live. Basically, good means comfortable. Good means that we are not in need. Good means that everything that we desire, we have. Unfortunately, that's not what Paul means when he says good. Paul would disagree with us. So we have to wonder, if that's not what he means, what does he mean? Well, he defines it for us in the next verse. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. So what is good? Think about it. What did God say when he created man? It is very good. So his definition of good and his reasoning behind saying that God works all things for the good of those who love him is God's using those things that happen in our life, not causing them, but using them to conform us back to the very good that we were when he created us before the fall, into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, perfection. God is at work in your life and in my life, making us look more like Jesus every day. He has predestined us. At the end, we will look like Jesus. He is at work in our life to make that happen. Therefore, anything that makes us look more like Jesus is good. Does it feel good all the time? No. Is it the ideal thing that we would like to have happen in life? No. But it doesn't mean that God can't use it to form us more into the image of Christ. When he says that all things work together for good, he's not saying that the tragedies and heartaches of life will always produce better circumstances. He's not going to line it up with our definition of good and our expectations of good. He's not saying, this bad thing happened to you, so now I'm going to bless you and make you comfortable for the next 10 years. Be nice. That's not what he's saying. God is committed to making us look more like Jesus. He's not committed to making us healthy or wealthy. He's not committed to make us comfortable. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells us all the time that we're going to have trouble. We talked about this morning. He talked about how his message and his truth were going to divide families. They were going to end relationships. It was going to cause the world to turn upside down. That doesn't sound like comfort to me. But it's what has to happen if we want to experience the abundant life that he has for us in eternity. There's a reason that we gain more strength after we're sick. There's a reason that we pray more when we're scared than when things are going good. It's because those are the moments that we grow. Those are the moments that our growing edges are more malleable and moldable by God. I wanted to show a video this morning, but for the sake of time, I decided not to. But there's a video that I encourage you to look at on YouTube called God's Chisel. And it's by the Skit Guys. These guys are comedians, but this skit isn't really comical. It brings this point home to a T. And in the video, this guy plays a young man, and he's looking into the mirror, and God says, "What do you see?" And he says, "I see me." And God says, "Well, then I'm not done yet. I'm not done until you see me." And there's more to the video, and he's talking about nailing and how the chisel hurts and how it causes pain and discomfort. That's part of the process. God doesn't cause that pain, but he uses it for his good. It's kind of like a sculptor. I watched another episode of Modern Marvels. I'm using these a lot today. About the guy that made Mount Rushmore. Probably one of the biggest sculptures ever. And it was amazing because Mount Rushmore was just this huge mountain. With not even a glimpse of how these faces were going to look on this mountain. And this guy had a vision for it. And he looked and he saw. I know that that's going to look like that and that and that and that. And he began to blast with dynamite. And he began to hit that thing with jackhammers. And just all these brute means of force. And out of it came beauty. The smooth surfaces of the faces of the presidents. The way that they all fit together nicely on that mountain. The way it looks like it was meant to be there. So out of the dynamite and the chisels and the jackhammers and all the noise and a couple of guys died in the process of this thing, comes this beauty that we all get to behold. So this is our greatest problem with Romans 8:28, that our good and God's good aren't the same. Our good and God's good aren't the same. We want happiness and fulfillment and peace and long life, and God just wants us to look like his son. So that's what Paul means when he says we know. We know because we know God. His word is trustworthy and it guarantees that what happens will ultimately be for good. There's so many things that we don't know in life. We don't know the answers to any of those questions that I asked earlier. And there's 100 more, I'm sure, that can pop into your mind at any minute that we don't know why things happen. But we do know one thing, that God loves us. And that even when we don't agree, he knows how to use even the worst moments of life to bring good. So can we still believe in Romans 8:28? Yes, but we have to redefine good. And then the last thing, we have to understand the limitations of this verse. The limitations. There's a limit to how far this verse reaches in the circumstances of life. Notice the last phrase of Romans 8:28. To those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. This is an important limitation. This verse isn't for everyone. It's for those who love God. It's for Christians. So I'm sorry, if you're not a Christian this morning, this verse doesn't apply to you. We have to ask two questions. Have you responded to God's call? And are you part of God's saving purpose? And if you answer yes to those questions, then this verse is for you. If you're a member of God's family, then all things work for the good of those who love God. They work for your good. So then we come back to the question, do they really? Question I asked to begin with. All these things happen in life, and Can we really say that all things work for the good of those who love God? It sounds good, and we want to believe it. My final verdict is I say yes. We can believe it. We can believe in Romans 8:28, but we have to keep two important things in mind. The first thing, maybe the most important thing, is that we have a responsibility as Christians how we wield the Word of God. A lot of times we like to offer Scripture as word of encouragement, and it does the opposite. We have a responsibility how we use the Word of God. We can't use this verse or any other verse to try to explain the unexplainable to someone. A lot of times we have a passion and a zeal to protect God. And so when somebody's blaming God for a bad thing that happens in their life, we feel like we have to jump to God's rescue and protect Him. God doesn't need our protection. So let's not use the Word of God out of context to defend God or to comfort someone when really they just need us to be there for them. And the second thing is we have to understand what God's values are. Because a lot of times God's values and our values aren't the same. So really, it's basically we have to understand that we will not understand all the time. God is completely and infinitely wise. He's not going to reveal His entire plan to us. Our head might explode if He told us exactly what He had in store for us. So He just gives us a little bit at a time. We have to trust Him. Trust God. So Romans 8:28 isn't teaching us to call evil good or to simply smile through the tears and pretend like everything is okay. But it's teaching us that no matter what happens and no matter how terrible it is or how unfair it is, that God is there. He's there. He was there at the beginning. He's there while you're going through it, and He's going to be there when it's done. He's not left us. He has a purpose. He has a plan. He can use anything that happens to you for your good if you trust Him. If you trust Him. And really, what's the alternative? If we don't believe that God works for the good of those who love Him, what's the alternative? Do we believe in luck? Do we believe in karma? Do we believe in just the cosmic chance, the roll of the dice? I have a lot more comfort believing in God having a plan and a purpose for my life. So it doesn't answer every question, but it assures us of one great and all-important truth. God knows what He's doing. We know God, and God is good. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for allowing us to wrestle with the difficult things of life. Lord, for allowing us to question and sometimes have drop-down, drag-out arguments with You, no matter how silly it might be. Lord, as Paul says, we believe, help our unbelief. Help us to trust that even the darkest moments in life can be used to help us grow closer to You if we just trust You. We don't have to have answers all the time. We don't have to know reasons. We just have to trust that You can use anything for good if we trust You. So Lord, I pray this morning for myself and all those here that have gone through difficult times. And maybe this verse was one of the verses that we were offered and we just thought, how? Lord, I pray that You give us hope this morning. Maybe we still don't know how, but we know who. And sometimes that's all that matters. So Lord, I pray that those here this morning that are in one of those dark times can find encouragement in that. We don't know when the finish is going to be. We don't know when we come out of the valley. But help us to trust that You're right there. and that good will come. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.